Thanks for spending time with us on The Green this week. I'm Tom Byrne. Delaware's Division of Public Health and Department of Agriculture recently reported the first human West Nile virus case in the state this year. It comes amid concerns about a potential nationwide outbreak of another deadly mosquito-borne disease, Eastern Equine Encephalitis, or EEE. In this week's Enlighten Me, Delaware Public Media's Joe Irizarry catches up with the Division of Public Health's vector-borne disease epidemiologist Antonio Alvarado to learn more about West Nile virus, EEE, and how to protect yourself.
Tony, let's start with the basics. I'm sure our listeners know about it, but what exactly is West Nile virus?
Sure. So West Nile virus is a mosquito-borne virus that can cause West Nile virus neuroinvasive or non-neuroinvasive disease. Mosquitoes become infected when they feed on birds that are infected with the virus, and then sometimes they'll just go off and bite a human or a horse, and it can cause some disease in humans or horses.
And what about Eastern Equine Encephalitis, or EEE? How's that defined?
Similar to West Nile, it is another mosquito-borne disease spread by mosquitoes. It's in a different family than West Nile virus, but symptoms are similar to West Nile, but EEE is sort of known to be a little bit more severe. It has a case fatality rate of above 30%.
So then what's the distinction between West Nile, EEE, and Lyme disease?
And Lyme disease. So both EEE and West Nile virus are mosquito-borne diseases, but Lyme disease is a tick-borne disease. And West Nile and EEE are caused by viruses spread by mosquitoes, but Lyme disease is spread by ticks, and it's a bacteria. So very different in both the vector that spreads the disease and then the type of agent that causes the disease.
Well, now we know a case of West Nile was recently reported in Delaware. How common are West Nile and EEE in this region? They're both fairly rare, right?
Yeah, they're fairly rare in the human population. It's endemic here in the United States since, I believe, 1999. So we see cases every year. We don't see a lot of cases here in Delaware, but last year we saw 4 cases. This year so far, we're up to 2 cases. So it is fairly rare, but, you know, we like to stay on top of things here at the Delaware Division of Public Health. So when those get reported to us, we like to follow up with an investigation and report any findings that we can to DENREC's mosquito control section.
Now, is there anything about Delaware and its general makeup and its climate and geography that makes it more or less susceptible to West Nile and EEE? How much are we at risk of these here in the first state?
Yeah, so Delaware, as you might know, is filled with a lot of water. A lot of areas here in Delaware are below sea level, and there are a lot of, you know, retention ponds and stormwater basins that might hold water. We have some swamps here. We have the coastal saltwater marshes, which can breed a lot of mosquitoes. So we certainly see a lot of mosquitoes here in Delaware, and mosquito control is super important for our residents. There's nothing about Delaware that particularly makes it more or so, I guess, affected by West Nile virus, but we do see a lot of mosquitoes here.
Zooming out in terms of climate, where do these kinds of diseases thrive?
It depends. So these mosquitoes are insects. They're arthropods. They're cold-blooded. They rely on hot temperatures and humid environments to thrive. They need water. So mosquitoes only need a bottle cap of water to lay their eggs and for the larvae to hatch and grow. So if we have sort of warmer climates, you're going to see more mosquito populations. Sometimes there comes a point where it's just too hot and mosquitoes don't like that. But there is that sort of ideal humidity and temperature that the mosquitoes thrive on. So certainly as the climate warms and we're seeing more and more rainfall, looking at the hurricane that's hitting Florida right now, you know, a lot of times after these hurricanes, maybe a couple few weeks after that, you're left with a lot of water, that's standing water that's everywhere. And so you'll see sort of mosquito blooms in certain areas.
Okay, now let's say we've contracted one of these diseases. How do they affect us personally and our health? And what are the signs or symptoms to look for once you've gotten a vector-borne disease like West Nile and EEE?
It's important to note that most people will not actually become sick. So there's a lot of people that are bitten by infected mosquitoes that won't actually develop a disease. In the case of West Nile virus, About 80% of people who become infected with the virus don't actually show any symptoms. Triple E is more rare, but can be more severe in its symptoms. And so of the people that do show symptoms, it's usually you'll have mild illness like a fever, headache, muscle aches, nausea, and it can actually lead to serious illness like severe headache, neck stiffness, mental confusion, seizures, coma, those sort of things. So that's, those are, when it leads to that, that's sort of a neuroinvasive presentation. So it can be severe. And in the case of Tripoli, I had mentioned earlier that it's a 30% case fatality rate. So a third of people who do contract Tripoli can end up actually dying from the disease. And if you are able to survive it, a lot of the times you're left with debilitating state afterwards.
Now, who's at the greatest risk of contracting a vector-borne disease? And is there a certain kind of person that's more vulnerable?
Yeah, in the case of West Nile and Tripoli, the elderly population, so above usually 55 or 65, that population is usually susceptible to severe disease. And then certainly the population who are immunocompromised due to, you know, whatever reason, they also have a lower immune system, so they'll also be at greater risk.
Let's talk prevention. What does that look like, and what should or can we do?
Yes, this is the most important topic. So because there's no treatment for Tripoli or West Nile virus, the best way to prevent the disease is to prevent mosquito bites. And the first step, there's multiple steps into doing that. The first step would be to look around your house to see if there's any standing water that you can dump. And that can be in a range of different items. So like if someone has a wheelbarrow that's holding water, dump that. If someone has a tarp that's covering a boat that has some depressions that's holding rainwater, that's a mosquito habitat. Try to get that out of there as soon as possible. If you have rain gutters and it's clogged, it might hold water. And so we always recommend getting your gutters cleaned. And then also emptying your bird bath or changing the water in your bird bath sort of every week is a good thing to do, so it's not breeding mosquitoes. And then once you sort of have got that under control, you have no mosquito breeding grounds in your immediate vicinity, we do recommend using insect repellents when you go out. And particularly, you want to use EPA-registered insect repellents. And so a lot of those organic or natural insect repellents, they don't last as long as these EPA-registered repellents. And they also aren't tested by the EPA about their effectiveness. So we do recommend using those EPA-registered insect repellents and then following the instructions for those repellents. And lastly, if you can, you can wear long sleeves and long pants if you go out. Some mosquitoes, particularly the Sarafera species, they have a painful bite and they can actually bite through some of the clothing. So it's not always effective, but, and especially people don't necessarily want to wear long sleeves in the heat of the summer. So there's that. And then if you can, avoid going outside during peak biting times. So that's dawn and dusk. And also another thing that just I always like to mention is using, if you're outside, sitting outside, use a fan, like a fan that's blowing air. Because mosquitoes are weak flyers, so they don't really want to fly upstream and put all that energy to bite you if there's this wind current. So if you can, use a fan outside.
That fan thing, that's a new one. I haven't heard that one yet. That's good. Thank you. Now, you touched on this a bit earlier, but if we contract it, what then? Do we go to the hospital? And what does treatment look like?
If you are developing symptoms after a mosquito bite, definitely go to a hospital. They can test you. You know, we aren't here at the Division of Public Health. We won't know that you have this disease unless you get tested for it. It won't get reported to us. So definitely go to a hospital, get tested for it. Sometimes they can provide you with supportive care. And if it develops into a severe neuroinvasive disease, they can certainly provide you with some supportive care, but not much you can really do once the symptoms do develop, because there's no treatment really for it. So going on to like the mosquito-borne diseases like dengue virus, which is all about on the news right now, you definitely want to, or malaria, you definitely want to avoid mosquito bites from local mosquitoes. So in the case of malaria, let's say you travel to a country, contract it there, bring it back to the United States. We do have the malaria vectors here in the United States, in Delaware. So you want to avoid mosquito bites for a certain number of days after you return from somewhere overseas, just so you're not spreading that parasite or virus to local mosquitoes. But West Nile, you don't have to worry about that with West Nile and Tripoli, because humans don't create enough virus in our blood to reinfect mosquitoes.
Now, as far as all this goes, is there anything we should keep an eye out for as we head further here into the fall season?
As climate warms, the mosquito season might actually lengthen a little bit. So mosquitoes are active, you know, as soon as spring hits and you get that first temperature above freezing, some mosquitoes can be active, and they're active until the first consistent frost that we get at night. So that can be, you know, I was out walking my dog 2 days ago, and it was a little chilly at night, but I was getting swarmed by mosquitoes. Just, you know, I mean, I would continue practicing mosquito prevention until it gets cold. You know, try to prevent mosquito bites as best as possible.
Thanks to the Delaware Division of Public Health's vector-borne disease epidemiologist Antonio Alvarado and our Joe Irizarry for enlightening us this week.